The Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys each and every Saturday on the Michigan Talk Network. It's going to bump up against 50 degrees today. Get out in your backyard and fire up that grill. It's supposed to be half that warm tomorrow, high at 26. So today's the day to get out and knock the Christmas decorations off the trees. The snow's all gone. At least it is down here in downstate. Maybe our friends up in Traverse City still got a little. But get out, enjoy your backyard. Great day to fire up the grill. Make some snacks, whatever it may be. Cook dinner for the wife tonight. That's what I'm going to do on the grill. So anyway, Bob, that's what's cooking in my house. What's cooking with you, brother?
Well, I have to head to Atlanta on a business trip tomorrow, so my day is going to be just jammed up. I got, you know, all these daddy things, soccer tournament, look, volleyball, a little this and that, and I'm somewhere in between there. I'm supposed to be making some shish kebabs because I got some beautiful meat marinating, and I'm just dying. You know, you're talking about skewered meats here a little while ago. My stomach's just growling thinking about pulling some fresh kebabs off the grill. It's got to be one of my favorite foods to make.
Right.
Just probably because we've done it for so long, and I've kind of got it down to a science where it's easy. I can feed a lot of people. But more importantly is that marinade that we make, which is my father-in-law's old recipe, just hits my sweet spot.
Is that on the Grilling Guys website?
Yeah, yeah, it's called Charlie Jabor's Shish Kebab, and we use it for a bunch of things. But I'm also looking at bringing a new smoker back from this business trip, and I won't say what it is, but I'm just playing around with another piece of smoking equipment, and I made some jerky a couple nights ago. I did a steak night at our church. Oh, yeah, where were you?
Hey, I was busy that night.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
Playing Cribbage League up at the Rogue River Tavern. Yeah.
So I did 160 steaks for, 160 guys.
Right.
At a men's steak night. And here's what I did. I cheated. I took.
Well, it's not cheating. It's smart.
I cheated. I just got some of this from Gordon's Food Service. Their Canadian steak blend. It's just like McCormick's steak blend.
Sometimes called
Montreal.
Yeah.
Gordon's calls it a Canadian steak blend. And I got some beautiful New York strips from Sobey Meats.
Right.
Okay. Beautiful. These were choice. So they were marbled nicely. And I heavily coated each one of them, and I brought my big chuck wagon, my Goodwin smoker, down to the church, fired up the smoker, and fired up the grill next to it, got the smoker box up to about 350, and I filled all the racks with these New York strips, and I smoked them up to about 110 degrees.
Each steak, you mean?
Yeah, all on racks, and then I keep pulling the top rack off and rotating.
Now, why is that?
And I throw those on the grill. I'd pre-smoke them, get the temp up. Then I only needed to grill them for like 4 or 5 minutes on each side, and they were bang, perfect. But they also brought that smoke flavor in. Oh, my gosh.
Now, you mentioned something there. You said you rotate the racks back and forth. Why are you rotating the racks? I mean,
well, because the heat's always at the top of the rack.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the point I wanted to make, is if you've got a multi-rack smoker, it's hotter at the top than it is at the bottom, so your things are going to cook quicker. So
always,
if you're doing that, rotate that stuff through.
Yep.
Hey, right now on the grilling line, we've got our friend Mr. South Carolina Hog, Max Fulda. Hey, what's cooking, Max?
How are y'all doing up there in the cold country? Well, maybe not cold today, but I just heard you say it was going to be cold tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty nice up here, buddy. I was telling Jop earlier about your last day of deer hunting, and he was pretty excited for your good fortune. And right now, though, I want to talk a little bit about this hog hunt you've got coming up. And I think guys up in Michigan don't quite understand how many hogs you have in South Carolina and how you go about eradicating those beasts.
Well, we're covered up with hogs, and let me tell you, if you're a PETA member or have leanings that way, you may not want to hear this, but we are entirely covered up with hogs. Because of that, we can hunt hogs all year long. We can hunt hogs at night. We can hunt hogs during the day. You can use a rifle. You can use a shotgun. You can use whatever, I mean, a stone if you like. But we hunt hogs all the time.
And you pretty much have to.
Oh, you do. You do. I mean, on top of everything else, they really harm the deer population, and they harm the bird population, the quail, the turkey. They're just a horrible animal, and they also harm, you know, farmland. You know, they eat soybeans. They even eat cottonseed, that kind of stuff.
So these are feral hogs. I mean, they were domestic, and now they're wild, and because they've been that way for so long, they proliferate, and there's literally thousands of these things running around, right?
Right. There's probably millions. But yes, they are feral, and they are a type of Russian boar that was brought over with early settlers that have just it's such a, we have such a mild climate. I mean, when you're talking about 25 degrees, we rarely get down, you know, into the 20s. So everything lives without having to worry about the weather. You don't have any eradication of anything because of any weather, particularly hogs, because they're such a hardy, you know, beast are the ones that we hunt.
So tell us how you hunt them.
All right. We hunt them with, we feel like that people that hunt with rifles and shotguns and bows and arrows are kind of wusses in our part of the world. We hunt hogs with dogs and a knife.
Your dog carries a knife?
Blade.
Yeah.
Your dog carries a knife? Oh, sorry. That was too easy.
It's funny to see it in the teeth, yeah. obviously not. We use a dog called a Catahoula, and we use a dog called, obviously, a pit bull. And we cover these dogs in Kevlar. And we use them to hunt hogs. Typically, you want me to give you kind of an idea of a hunt
yeah.
we use with these dogs?
Okay. Exactly. If you just tuned in, we're talking with Max Fulda, who's actually the sales manager for Tech Infrared, which is how I know him. Max travels the country teaching folks how to use 100% pure infrared, and I work with Max quite a bit. We have a lot of fun together. But Max is in what city in South Carolina do you live in, and where's your lowland that you're hunting?
I live in a town called Anderson, South Carolina, and we hunt in a county called Allendale, South Carolina, which is very far south. It's not far from the Georgia border.
Okay.
So the first thing we do is when we're going to Allendale, we call the sheriff of Allendale County, for three reasons. The first one is that he's the one with the dogs. The second is that he knows the property around the county that does have hogs running wild on it. And the third is, nobody's ever going to kick the sheriff off their property, right?
Well, and there's a fourth thing. As soon as he sees your orange charger, he'll know you're in town. So you might as well do that. Talking Dukes of Hazzard, my gosh. So you and Boss Hogg, get your knives.
Oh, my God.
Well, what we do is we walk these fields with the sheriff the Catahoula is not on a lead or a chain or anything. He's walking around winding, and we have the bulldog on a chain or a lead, and we walk these fields and these swamps, and the Catahoula will take off periodically, and all you do is sit and wait. If you hear a bark, this dog has found hogs. If you don't hear a bark, you just continue on your way. And if you hear a bark, then we immediately release the bulldog. The bulldog takes off. And you take off after the bulldog. It'll take off in a swamp. It'll take off across the field, wherever you're going. And all you have to do is listen for the barking and the squealing, because you'll know they'll be on pigs.
So the bulldog is actually trained quite well as well. I mean, he knows what he's going to do.
Yes. And the pit bull, when you get there, he'll have a hog by the ear. And he knows not to grab it by a leg, not to grab it by the neck.
I got
to
laugh,
throat.
Sorry.
He'll, do what?
He's telling the pig to squeal. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but you might be on to something. So the pig is squealing like there's no tomorrow, and you get there, and because you've drawn lots or picked straws or just somebody who's never done it before, you have a knife, and it's usually about a 10-inch blade knife. And right now, pandemonium is going on. You got a Catahoula running around barking at a dog. You got a pig that's trying to get away from a pit bull, and you got a knife. And it's your turn to harvest this animal. So the way to do it, shall I tell you how to do it?
Yes.
Okay. The way to do it is to jump on the back of this animal and insert the knife behind the front quarters. The idea is to right behind the front quarters, there's no protection to the heart, and you can, if you hit the heart immediately, that dog will fall like a sack of stones.
All right, there's some good Grilling Guys tips there, right there. You heard it here first on the Grilling Guys Michigan Talk Network. Max Fulda, we're going to have to take a break. Always good to talk to you, and I'll be down in Atlanta this week. I don't suppose you're in Atlanta this week, but I will definitely see you in Orlando in a few weeks for the big Hearth Patio and Barbecue exhibition, and look forward to grilling for the folks with you as always.
Hey, I look forward to it, and y'all have a good time.
All right, we'll have some CLDs. All right, that's Max Fulda from Tech Infrared. Thanks so much. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be right back.
This is the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.